Communication. Wow. It's a thing. I can speak. You can speak. We can all understand each other. I was so impressed, you know, Somalia, because maybe there's not that much English there. But there's few countries like that now. Fewer and fewer. So 2,000 years ago, the Greek language was known, and the gospel spread because there was one language in that area, which was known to be the world at that time, but only, of course, around Mediterranean countries. But the gospel spread. So today, thinking of the world and spreading the gospel, what language is the best one to do it in? It is. More and more countries are wanting to know English. When we went out there, hardly anybody spoke English in northern Thailand near the Burma border. Not a lot of English was spoken there. And we've been learning Thai since we got out there. But it's central Thai we're learning. There's so many different Thai languages. And where we are, really, I suppose the main one is northern Thai. But it's not spoken in the schools. It's central Thai. And also all the tribes over there speak a different language anyway. So it's hard. But 2014, the Thailand and other nations go together as the ASEAN Union, just like we've got the European Union. They're Asia or ASEAN, they call it ASEAN Union. And I thought it was going to be Chinese or something, you know, the main language. No, go on, you know it. English. Wow. Well, everybody wants to know English. Everybody wants to learn English. And you think, God, you know, we're there for such a time as this. We're getting on with our Thai, so we can talk a little bit, but not to preach the gospel. Apparently, we know people there have been there 25 years and they still don't feel competent to preach the gospel there. You really have to be there from a little one and grow up. It's such a hard language. It's not an easy language like, say, Spanish or something like that. Anyway, so today, English, what an opportunity to spread the gospel in every country, not just northern Thailand. Anyway, we've grasped the opportunity, as Andy said, to get more into the church that's there. It's called Blessing House, or House of Blessing, our little church that we've gone to. We've come from another one that was mainly teaching the university ones and doing a grand job. But this one is more a family church, so it's better for our boys as they're all sort of ages and they get into the children's work there. It's very loving and caring. So we're pleased about that. But then we were asked, well, Andy and I were asked, would we speak, teach them the Bible in English? Well, Andy's been doing it. I unfortunately had a bit of an accident and broke my collarbone and dislocated things. So he's been doing most of that, haven't you, love, at the moment? So he's doing the English, and he's doing it in the New Testament, like he said. And people are really keen. They're learning from the New Testament. If you can imagine, we've got our Bible, right? They've only just got a modern Thai Bible. The old Bible, well, it's maybe like the King James old version, maybe even worse, because they call it high language. And they speak to the king in high language. So they thought they ought to speak to God in high language. But nobody understands it. So it's not very good to teach the stories from the New Testament in high language. But they all have this Bible that they don't understand, which is annoying, really. But they've got now a new, a modern sort of translation out, but hardly anybody uses it. Even Gideon still, you know, the Gideon Bibles, they still put it out in this old, in a high language. Anyway, we've got these Bibles. We invested in them, didn't we? And they've got English and Thai in, but the Thai is the modern version. And Andy takes them along to the Tuesday evenings, and they love them. So we're getting that in them as well, a love for this more modern translation. So they're growing in God. It's really good. And on a Sunday, once a month we teach there on a Sunday morning as well. And we've been getting about the love of God teachings of Jesus, how Old Testament is different from the New, because Andy says they were all, it was always in the Old Testament. And then the last, this January we were there, we managed to teach them about the presence of God in them. They were blown away. I mean, they've already been sort of looking at you when you're teaching them things. And Pastor had little tears in his eyes. And I thought, wow. You see, we're taught it, aren't we? It's so common to us now. And you look at them and you think, oh, God loves them so much. And they don't know this. And it's just such a joy to go there and tell them. I'm no one special. I'm not really someone who can come up here and speak, really. I never used to do it. But, you know, you just get on with it. What have we got in us, you know? We've got God in us, haven't we? So whatever you can do, like Di was saying, blessed to be a blessing this morning. Excellent. Blessed to be a blessing. So let me say that, though, I really appreciate everybody's prayers for us when we've been preaching, and people out there as well praying for us. It's all been soaked in lots of prayer. So when I've gone and preached, or Andy's gone and preached, it's all been soaked in lots of prayer, and it's absolutely wonderful. You feel as though you glide through it, then it's great. Jesus is our standard, isn't he? No one else. It's Jesus, isn't it? And for that matter, he's our theology. You don't have to look at, oh, what did this scholar say? What did that scholar say? Although it's important maybe to some, so long as you've got Jesus in you, that's the main thing, isn't it? Living in you. Let's wake you up, shall I? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Can you all do that? Oh, haven't you got your Bibles? I'll read it then. 3:16. Did I say 6? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Wow. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Wow, you think when you read that, don't you? The Spirit of God dwells in me. Amazing. Thank you, God. And that happens, doesn't it, when you come to know him? He sort of comes alive inside. You think differently, don't you? And you just know you've got this joy in you. And it's amazing. And that's what we want to... I'm struggling again with this. This arm's not working as well as it would like it to, but never mind. It's getting a lot better. So I was thinking, you know, Jesus started his ministry, didn't he? Mainly at the Jordan when he was baptized in water. He was also baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came and rested on him. He was a man, you see, came as a man to earth. So from then on, he was like a magnet, wasn't he? People just came because there was this power in him that sort of permeated through him and didn't leave. It sort of was there. God was there with him. He was God, but you know what I mean, don't you? He'd taken the form of a man and left all of the heavenly things away. And then he says, you know, that it's the same that we have to have. What I've just read, Spirit of God in you. We're no different. We have to have this. And in fact, when he went up to heaven, he said to his disciples to wait. Pray and wait, didn't he? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Let's see if I can read that. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we do need that. We need that supernatural strength. We can't do it on our own, can we? So you need to get with God. You need to know Holy Spirit in you. And he does work through you. I'm sure he works through all of you. Well, people will still recognize you, even though you've prayed and you've come a Christian and you've got Holy Spirit working in you. You don't actually look different, do you, to those outside? Say to family. Say you've become a Christian, you go to family. You look the same. They recognize you. You know, you're such and such person. But you're changed inside. Isn't that right? You're changed from within. I'm going to have to ask Andy to hold this thing for a minute. Otherwise, I can't do it. Thank you. I got this just to show you. It's a bit rough on the outside, isn't it? Don't you think? You know, got a few bubbles on there. A bit of a pattern, thanks. A bit of a pattern on there. Yeah. God is the hand. You are the glove. The glove on its own just lies flat. Doesn't really do a lot, does it? It exists. But I won't go too deep in this thing. But God is the hand in you. If you imagine that God is working you inside, he's got you into you. He's changed you from within. And so that glove works. I thought of another thing as well, you know, when I thought of this. When you have a glove, you know, you can't do as much. You know, if I got your hold of your pen, it's a bit harder to work than just the hand. Doesn't that tell you? I mean, God could do it so much better on his own, really, couldn't he? You know, when you think about it. But he wants to use us, and he's definitely using us. He doesn't want to do it on his own. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through us all. He's put himself in you all so he can work through you and use you for his glory. Yeah? So, think about the glove. You might not be all that pretty, the glove. You might be the wrong colour, you think. You know, you don't like bright red. You know, but it doesn't matter, does it? Because with God in you, that's the main important thing. So from conversion is only the beginning. If you're just converted, that's great. It's the beginning. It's not the end. God wants to now work in you for your whole life to make you more like Jesus every day. All right? Allow him in. Don't sort of hide away and think, nah, I don't want to need the Holy Spirit. I can do it on my own. No way. No way. So God is looking for those who will seek him and put him first in their life. And then he'll start to reveal the treasures he has stored up for you. You might think, well, I've not got much in my life. Yes, you have. You look deeper. He's got treasures stored up for you to find that's just right for you. Yeah? Doesn't matter about your age. So don't miss out. Go on, effect eternity. Make a difference. Have God in you. There's another verse in John 15:5. It's easier because I can move that way now with the Bible. 15:5, here you go. I am the vine, Jesus says, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, and there's many other verses in there that more or less say the same thing, that we do need God in our lives. We can't do it without him. When you think of people, I'm just thinking that the apostles, yeah, they flowed with it, didn't they? And you think, wow, wasn't it good when they, you know, you hear the Bible stories and the apostles flowed with it and they healed somebody because they had the power of God flowing through them. And today, if you think about it, some people have put themselves out. I was thinking about maybe Billy Graham. He pushed himself out there, didn't he? And he preached and he got millions saved. Yeah, wow, that was good because he sought God and got what God had for his life. Reinhard Bonnke, the same. He's still alive doing the business. He's preaching the gospel, training up others to follow him now. And he's had many, many healings and even people raised from the dead because he's all out for God. We know about Bill Johnson and his Bethel team there. I mean, they're sold out for it, aren't they? They go for it. They want to do what God wants them to do, not what they want to do. So they're trying to run with it and flow in the river that comes from God. We do need him. I was just thinking about Smith Wigglesworth as well. I'm from around the area, you see, just up the road from where Smith Wigglesworth was born. Good old Yorkshire, eh? And he absolutely believed wholeheartedly in the Bible, but it wasn't till he was filled with the Holy Spirit that it came really alive to him. And he was older. So there you go. He was over 60 when he actually went and started traveling the world, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Wow. I thought, there's hope for us yet. Actually, he lived to a grand old age, Smith Wigglesworth. It's all in Di's book, you see, she knows. So become the person you're meant to be. Yeah, don't shrink back thinking, well, I'm no good, I'm too shy, making excuses. Just stand in God's favor and let him develop you into the person he wants you to be. And be connected to the Holy Spirit. There's a... something Bill Johnson said. I hope I've quoted him right because it's what I've got in my head. I can't find the quote. Sometimes when we are willing to do what we are not qualified to do, just doing it makes us qualified or qualifies us. And I thought that for Dave and Charlotte today. I'm sure you're thinking, whoa, I don't know enough about this. But God does. Yeah. And he's in you. And he's going to work through you when you go out there. We've found this, haven't we? We've been stretched no end out in Thailand. But it's all good. All good. And all you want then is more. You have the joy of the Lord in you and you just want more. And you lot here in Slough, wow, you have healing on the streets. And you go and talk to people on the streets. And you can talk to him. He's English. You know, you don't have to struggle. Oh, dear, how do I speak their language? Because all of them are wanting to learn English. There's only a few of them now, I think, that don't know English. Most of them know English. So you can say something and you can go and talk to them on the streets. That's one way. Karen, where was Karen? Is it Karen? Back there? She was talking. It's all right. She was talking about the children. That's your thing. And God's going to really bless you in doing that. Because she's going out of her comfort zone and she's relying on God and she's getting strength for doing her children's work. And I think that's tremendous. And even if it's just going into the neighbor's house, getting to know neighbors, go get to know them. Tell them a little bit about the love of God. You know, whatever you feel you can do, you do. You know, there's a lady in Langley where we live. Last time I heard this. And she said, I was wondering, she must be about 75. She was said, I was wondering what I could do for God these days. And then he popped into my head, why don't you do your knitting? And she thought for a while. She thought, do you know whether people might like to learn how to knit? And so she started up this little group of knitters. Of course, they're all older people. But she got them together and slowly she's taught them a little bit more about the Lord. And many, I think about three or four, already saved and many interested in knowing God more. And there they are knitting all these little things as well, blankets for sending out here, there and everywhere. And they knitted some teddies. And it's all good, isn't it? But she found a little niche that she could do it because she wanted to follow God more. She wanted to do something for God and her heart was wanting to tell others. So whatever you find, you can do. Don't let... Oh, let's say the trials of life. Don't let the trials of life get you down. We all have them, don't we? We all could be stopped. You know, time after time, you can think, oh, I'm too ill today or whatever. You could stop following God in doing something. You'd perhaps still know him in your heart, but get out there. Go on, use your life. Use the time. Yeah. Put your name down for healing on the streets. Go on. It's not you who heals, it's God. So you don't have to think, oh, I'm no good at that. It's God. So be blessed. We all following the one Lord, so be blessed. I speak to myself as well as you. So I have to encourage myself as well as you. Thank you. It's lovely to be here.